love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Elizabeth is here tonight from The Apprentice.
Hello.
NBC, Thursday nights, 9 o'clock. I am a fan of the show. I think it's very well done.
I am too, and I hate reality TV.
Yeah, you say that, but then...
No.
Well, but then there's Survivor, and there's... you don't like Survivor, but there's The Apprentice and Survivor. Mark Burnett does really good work.
Yeah.
Give him that, and you'd like Survivor, too, if you gave it a chance. Look, listen, wise ass. Remember when I was telling you about the Family Guy about 3 or 4 years ago? And now you come in here talking my ear off about it all the time.
Right.
I just realize I'm always right.
You're always
right. Stop arguing.
You're
okay.
Right.
Elizabeth is here. Elizabeth is... I'd say the foxy one. I mean, she's smart, but definitely best-looking one of the group.
Oh, thank you, Adam.
Yes, I found, except for Raj.
Raj wore
bow ties. But I was watching, and I haven't seen every single episode, but I saw Elizabeth. She really got hung out to dry a couple of weeks back when they did the whole NYPD. Nice, Drew. Drew just whacked the mic with his coffee mug. And Drew, you know, let me say something about you and your relationship with the coffee mug. It's a lot like when you go to the Natural History Museum. First, there was just Homo sapien. And he didn't know how to work with tools or anything yet. That's what you were a few years back. You're Homo erectus. You would actually just punch a mic using your hand and sometimes, but fashioning crude tools to damage the mic.
The palm axe.
But now you've advanced to mugs. I saw you whack it with your glasses the other night. You really, really started to move.
Well done.
And cool mugs at that. It says wicked.
Yeah. It says porn
it's
mug.
Wicked mode.
Let me tell you what was in there before coffee. Ron Jeremy seed.
Nice.
Okay. So, Elizabeth, so here's the thing. I was watching, and you were in charge of the team on the challenge when you had to come up with a promotion or a commercial for NYPD.
That's right.
And it was really, I was actually yelling at the TV set. And tell me how much of this came through or didn't come through with the editing or whatever, but Elizabeth wanted to take this sort of approach that had some family, had a little heart, had a little military, had a little action, a nice mixture that was going to be run on this one-minute commercial ad that was going to be shown, I guess, in New York to try to recruit people to join the NYPD. All her guys forced her to do this whole militant
thing. Was
it all
men or just you at that point?
No. It was a mixed team, but everybody else on the team was in one camp, and I was in the other.
Huh. Well, there were mainly a couple of guys that were basically...
Pushing hard.
They were bullying her.
Yeah.
And they were saying, let's do it. It should be all about terrorists. It should be all about paramilitary stuff.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth didn't want to do it, but had a couple ideas. Unfortunately... and I think this is why she got S-canned, didn't step forward with a strong enough idea to counter the idea that they were foisting upon her.
Right.
Ended up getting this horrible idea foisted on her, didn't want to do it. They end up doing it, and then everyone who sees it goes, well, this looks like a military training tape. This is horrible. We're frightened of it. And then the guys with the horrible idea says, Elizabeth, you shouldn't have let us do it. Is that about right?
It was pretty much what was on TV, yeah.
That's not what happened, though?
Well, you know, there's a lot of footage. There's a lot of hours, and you guys only see a few minutes. So it's shortened, and it's abbreviated, obviously. But, yeah, you've got the gist of it, Adam. I mean, you know, marketing's what I do for a living, and I know a lot about developing good campaigns. And Donnie Deutsch was very specific that
I almost vomited into my trash can after taking a bit. Donnie Deutsch. By the way, is there, Drew, that tight blue shirt, are you kidding me? Is there any... Okay, you tell me this guy. We see him in L.A. They used to be all over William Morris when I used to be there. You see him and you see him on Madison Avenue in New York. It's the 40-something-year-old dude who works out all the time and wears the tight shirt and has the hair slicked back and weaves in at the end of the day 170 times a sentence. At the end of the day, people, it's about getting to the end of the day. You want to get to the end of the day? At the end of the day? At the end of the day, I'm going to say at the end of the day, okay?
Wow.
So at the end of the day.
Blowhard.
Oh, this guy just, you know, it's great. And these guys run their own businesses, so no one can ever call them a-holes or blowhards or anything. Everyone just has to talk behind their back and talk about the trail of sebum and Grecian formula they leave behind them like snails. They're just working out all the time. A couple of third trophy wife or whatever. Sometimes gay, too. And it's confusing sexually.
You know, Adam, most of the time when someone talks about someone so much, it's because they're jealous.
Oh, my jealous? I only saw the guy.
Then he'll have to
speak. He's got a lot of passion.
He's
going
to have to talk for the next 70 minutes then because he talks about everybody this much.
No, I've only seen the guy one time. I just realized I hate blowhards. My skin crawls, and he was just sitting at the end of this board table beaming because someone for once wanted his opinion on something. Yeah. And he was like, people, at the end of the day, please, what a slime ball. He tried to get in your pants, right?
Actually, no.
Really?
There wasn't time.
I hate him more. Now I have no respect for him. I had this much respect for him, and then I found out he didn't come on to you. Now I have zero respect
for
him.
Neither did Trump, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Zero respect. So what don't... Deutsch is a blowhard, though, right? Like, huge blowhard, right?
No comment. I'm pleading the fifth on that one.
It seems like everyone that comes off The Apprentice is one of the shows where people are not bashing one another as they leave. I mean, every other show, it's like, that pain. That
oh, yeah.
Even Jeff Probst is just bashes all the contestants on The Survivor.
Well, he was pretty high when he was in there.
It was.
I didn't bash anybody on the show either, though, Dr.
But that's what I'm saying, is that, that you everyone speaks highly of Trump, and that's, I don't know if that's just how... You're afraid you're going to run into one another in business life and the world again?
You know what I think it is? I think everybody's so highly educated and so refined that
they don't get into that. Yeah.
You know, the truth of the matter is there were so many really smart, competent, amazing people on this show. Yeah. And I think that it's important to make sure that people know that. You know,
that comes through, by the way. That does come through. That's why I like the show.
Cream of the crop. But on the other hand, I will say this, with all the incredible education and the accolades as far as
I kind of think they made some of us look like morons, to be
honest.
I
know some of these
people
personally.
You can't be objective about it.
And you know, the true spirit really did not come through.
Well,
but I thought it was interesting. Almost every person that Trump kicks off says things like, you're gonna have an amazing career, you're going to do amazing in life, but I got to get rid of you, kind of thing. You didn't hear that last season.
In the whole episode, you were like made to look like you're a total idiot.
But, well, wait a minute. Elizabeth, did you get tossed before the even showdown?
Yeah. I didn't get a chance to have a boardroom even.
Never even saw that.
No. What?
Drew, never before in history.
I'm glad you watched it, Dr. Drew.
No, I don't watch every week. I missed that particular episode.
Sure.
Never imagined you'd be kicked off. Yeah. I'd be there the whole season.
This is a show.
I wouldn't be here with you if I was still there.
I know. We'll see if we make up for it.
This is a show he likes, by the way, so he doesn't even watch ones he enjoys.
Here's what happens.
They do that thing where, okay, you know, everyone sits down. The whole losing team sits down. And then they give the team captain, the leader, a choice. You know, how many you want to take? Two people.
Yeah.
You want to take three people. Everyone else splits and goes back to the apartment. Usually, you pick two people and then you go at it. Now that's the finals. Trump tossed Elizabeth off before. He said, "We don't even
that's
do
right.
it. You're gone."
I tell everybody I like to do everything big. You know, I got to make a big statement.
Has that happened before?
No, it was unprecedented.
Wow.
I made history.
Let me tell you what that is. That is like not only did your kid's Little League team lose the game, but the slaughter rule was enacted. The team was up. They got to the third inning. The other team was up 28 runs, and they went, let's go home.
I do have to say, though, Adam, had I been given a boardroom, I don't think there's any way I would have been fired. I mean,
really?
There's just no way.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I was right, and I did too many great things on the task. I didn't actually get to tell Trump all the stuff I got to do, so he didn't have all the information when he fired me.
Venom, man. They were going after her. But here's the thing, and here's the problem, which was sort of a catch-22, as I see it, which is, you're right, and that this horrible idea that everyone hated was not your idea, and you announced to the world you thought it was a horrible idea, yet you as the team leader went along with it.
But it seems
that's the problem they had.
But it seems like there was a lot of precedent what I've seen so far, there was a lot of resentments built when team leaders went, I hear you all, but we're just going to go the way I said.
Yes.
And the people are like, hey, that bitch is a pain in the ass. And
yeah.
You didn't want
yeah.
you already built
no,
a precedent.
I never
that.
Went along with it. I mean, I recognize that that's kind of how it looked, but mm-hmm. that wasn't at all the case.
Well,
so.
I didn't mean went along with it. I just mean it was a sort of situation where it's like, look, we got 48 hours. We don't have anything in the can. We got to do something. And they just sort of went along.
Yeah, my mistake was I delegated the creative and asked for three ideas, and mm-hmm. they came back to me with one that was really bad.
Yeah.
And when I told them to change it, they just kind of were so passionate about it, they wouldn't. Mm-hmm. And it's a situation where, you know, you're playing a reality show game at the end of the day, and when they see
at the end of the day,
at
see?
The end of the day, see,
and,
I've been influenced heavily.
Donnie Deutsch.
No, but when you, whenever you're on one side and everybody else is on the other, you make yourself a prime target,
right?
And so basically, what it is everyone says, this is going to be an easy one. Let's just sort of be all over here, and then she'll be all over there, and then that's the next one fired. And really, it's about a strategy to get to the end for these other people. And so I wasn't surprised that they all kind of ganged up on me.
Well, ultimately, you may, and it even sounds like you already are, possibly forging a better career than you would have had working under the
Oh, absolutely.
The
thumb this has been Trump. This has been a great experience for me. I mean, more people are asking about my business, Pulse 40, so I'm getting a lot of new clients that way. And then also, I was telling Dr. Drew earlier, I've developed an interview process, and so people are picking up on that and asking me to do that in other environments, like on camera. And
I've
things,
worked
so.
One out. Too here on the show, which is I talk about my high school football days to whoever the guest is while they sit there.
Fair,
hope we
you
go
talk
to college.
About high school football.
What did you play?
Oh, I played guard on offense and linebacker on defense.
Oh, both sides.
Oh, yes.
He talks
like
about
both ways,
getting
yeah,
his
both ways,
teachers
better.
To kiss his ass.
Oh, yeah. That's
you talk about being a millionaire and paying a lot of taxes.
I'm literally a millionaire. Yes,
talk
literally.
About the early pickup of the garbage and the late
garbage.
Delivery for
missed,
the mail.
Missed him this morning, by the way.
And it must be noted guy. That you have a haircut.
I got a haircut,
yes.
too, but
and
I wasn't planning on talking about that. All right, should we take some
yes,
phone calls?
Yes.
Andrew. Valerie?
Yes.
26?
Yep.
What's up?
Okay, I've been seeing this guy since I was like 17. I lost my virginity to him, and he's been like always in my life. And then like about a year ago, he proposed to me, but like a couple months after we got engaged, he like broke up with me and said that he wasn't in love with me and that he never was. And then, like, 2 months later, he, like, asked me back and said that he was the...
What's your question?
All right.
Like,
by the way,
we got the picture.
He wants me... He broke off with me again, and now he's, like, saying that he wants me back and stuff, and I don't know if I should go back. I don't
no,
know. I don't
no.
know what to do.
My no friends, way.
Why did he break up
back,
with...
But,
hold on. Quiet down. First off, you're 26, and it sounds like...
You're 12.
You know, this
yeah.
is Tiger Beat Hotline.
Right.
And you're babysitting.
Yeah, but you guys, this is 9 years. That's a long time.
It's 8 years that should not ever never have happened. It happened only because of the fact that they had sex when they were teenagers and it bonded them together, and they've been in this chaotic on again, off again thing along. And she needs to get something else going. She just hasn't gotten anything else
by
going.
The way, she got put in like a time capsule when
at
she
16.
Met this guy
yeah, yeah.
in 17, and
right.
it doesn't sound like she's moved forward. You know, you got to love and lose a little bit, everybody, to kind of mature,
yeah.
ripen
also
just
go to
a little
school.
Bit.
Oh, okay. Would be a bad idea.
A little bit of college wouldn't hurt either, Valerie.
Hey, Valerie.
Yeah.
I think the thing for you is you got to decide what you really need, you know? And you got to go with that, and I don't think it's probably a guy who's going to make you feel like this, right?
Right. Well, I mean, I did graduate from college. I'm a pharmacy technician. And, you know, I love my life. I do social science research, and, you know, I have a lot of friends. It's just, you know, he keeps popping back up in my life, and that love that I had for
him. Stay with that healthy instinct of moving on.
Yeah.
Do not let this chaos pervade your life.
Where is he going when he announces he's breaking up? What does he do?
What do I do?
What does he do?
Where does he go?
Oh, I don't know. He doesn't tell me.
I know. Here's the thing. Guys break up because, guys break up because they want to do something, or because they think they're going to get busted doing something. I mean, the guys that come back and forth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They're up to something.
There's a certain guy.
Not necessarily something pernicious. It's just
well,
they got stuff to do.
There's a certain guy out there who wants to bang other chicks, wants to get into heaven, doesn't want it to go on his record.
Right.
So he breaks up right before starts screwing around
that's
with the chick he met on the internet.
Yeah.
That goes on for a few months, and then he's done with that. He comes back, and then they break up when he meets the next chick on the internet. The yo-yoing, that's what it feels like to me. And
Yes, hold on.
Where's Valerie?
Done.
Valerie.
Yeah.
These are the words of a woman who has a large ass. Okay. You a big gal?
Not really. Medium.
Chicago medium.
Let me tell you what medium is. Medium is a deep dish pan. Yeah. Yeah, what? Give me...
hey, I'm from the Midwest. Be careful.
Give me your dimensions, please.
How tall are you?
I guess I'm 6 foot. I weigh about 180.
You're fat.
Hold on.
I'm not fat.
Would you fit through the St. Louis Arch? If you ran.
You're overweight.
Okay. All right, hold on a second. Hold on now. Wait a minute.
How dare you, Adam? Okay, how dare you?
First off, I'm scared. Here's the deal. I don't know. Whenever I hear... when I hear the word tech with any female job, I just picture those big hospital scrubs. Let me tell you something about the hospital scrubs. You want to know why? Nurses are all fat. You want to know why? Because they wear the billowy crap, and they grow like a goldfish, gets as big as its aquarium. You know what I'm saying? Office women, Elizabeth.
You grow into your clothes. Is that what you're saying?
Hear me out. I had a couple thoughts about this today.
So if I have a big house, does that mean I'm bigger than if I have a smaller house?
Unless you're Asian, yes. Asians will have bigger houses and remain the same size.
That's because there's so many people standing close together.
No, I will seriously, please hear me out. Elizabeth, you're a shapely, attractive woman. You go to work, you wear business attire, you wear smart, tailored things. When you wear suits and tailored, skirts and blouses and jackets and stuff. When you put on 5 pounds, you feel it. I mean, you put the pants on after Thanksgiving, and it's like, oh man. Yeah. And your first thought is, boy, I gotta work this off. Yeah. You feel it. If you walk around in sweatpants all the time and just essentially scrubs are even bigger than sweatpants.
There's no feedback.
Yeah. So you just keep growing. Look at some of these. But, you wear comfortable shoes and you wear
your feet
and
become huge.
Your feet huge.
No, like flippers.
I'm telling you, you wear the nursing shoes, you get those scrubs on, you just keep growing. I was thinking about this today. I was actually at the gym and I was thinking, you know what?
You were at the gym?
We shouldn't let
boxing gym.
Yeah. We shouldn't let fat guys grow beards because they do the same
thing.
They would normally have that big goitery, triple chin and stuff, but they grow the beard and they just carve themselves a chin and then they just keep packing it on. They get a flannel shirt and they just think, well, I got big forearms and a nicely shaped chin. No, fat guys shouldn't be able to have beards, and nurses should have to wear the super tight candy striper.
I'm shocked you didn't do the radio math on Valerie, though.
Well, I'm going to do it on Valerie because Valerie, when she says she's 6 foot and 180, that means...
Oh, no.
No, I mean, seriously. Look, you talk to people. You claim you like to talk to people. You know how people lie. I'd say, I don't even want to touch the height, but I'm guessing we're at least 194, 195. I mean, easily. Look, the radio's got to be about the same as your license, and people lie good 15, 20% on their license weight. You know what I'm saying? Maybe more so than a license. Valerie?
Yeah.
All right, here's why I'm harping on you. Here's what's going on. You're a person that doesn't feel great about yourself, so you sit around and take whatever scraps of love this guy will give you, okay? You need to take charge.
Yes,
you're better than this. You're educated. You have plenty to offer. You make a nice living. This guy's a screw-up. He got to you early. He eroded your self-esteem.
And he keeps working it. He's just working you.
Yes. You are a good couple months of some diet and some exercise and listening to a little classical music, putting your headphones on and going for a walk in the morning away from being rid of this guy. Yes.
Be strong, baby.
That's what you need to do.
All right.
You need to motivate. All right?
All right. Thank you.
All right.
What did the Marines say?
Hoorah! And can you get Quaaludes still?
No.
No Quaaludes? All right. Well, we're done. I just...
Well done. Keep going.
Someone brought up Quaaludes at the office here today.
Yeah,
I
got to
get
done.
Some of those.
The
Lonnie?
Motivate!
There you go.
Lonnie, you're 19.
Yes.
You're on... Yeah.
Calling about my boyfriend's penis. Is that how I say it on there?
Yeah, that's how you say it.
When I first got with him like a year and 2 months ago, it wasn't really big. And now it like is so huge. And I know he hasn't been taking anything for that. But like, what happened?
It was.
Dr. Drew's face is stumped.
No. I mean, he was 18, right?
Huh?
He was 18?
No, he was 21 and now he's 22.
Wow, that's unusual. But a man's penis can grow up to 21. And some guys actually will have some change based on their circulating testosterone levels. Mm-hmm. So having a girlfriend,
right,
being working out more, being in a position of authority, these things change males' testosterone level. That shouldn't be, you know, from medium to huge.
Presidents
have very high levels of testosterone. Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Men's testosterone levels change profoundly based on what's happening in their life.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No wonder women go after powerful men.
If that's what you're looking for.
Yeah. Well, guess we know Elizabeth's story.
Yes.
We do.
Don't worry.
We're done, by the way. This conversation's over. I've had enough of this. I don't need to sit here and take this.
Yeah, I know it's a little touchy for you.
It really is.
I know it's difficult.
Lonnie?
Yes?
I'm fine, by the way.
All right. So maybe at a growth spurt, so to speak, but either way, is it causing a problem?
No, it's fine. But is it because we have a lot of sex? Mm-hmm.
Is that what's doing it? It's helping.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I mean, also, I don't know. I mean, the body does seem to sort of cycle sometimes too. I mean, there are times when you get up, you get out of the shower, you look at yourself in the mirror, and you go, "Whoa, wow, looking good." And then later on that night or the next day, something happens. I don't know how it works.
And no one has ever studied these kinds of things really in any kind of systematic way, so we can't really address it in any kind of, you know, complete way. But I agree with you; things do change.
There are also days, as I've been thinking about it, it's interesting. There are days when you're just lucid and sharp and on top, and it's everything. And, you know, everyone wants to attribute it to diet and sleep and everything, but I don't think I've never made any correlation. But they're good days and they're bad days.
Yeah.
I kind of think the successful people just have more good days.
Yeah. We notice, too, because we're having to express ourselves with language all the time. And if you have trouble, you know, just putting thoughts together and expressing them,
yes,
really notice it.
Yes.
And I, like you, I cannot figure out why some days it just flows and some days it just does not.
Right.
I don't know what that is.
Which day is this, by the way, for you?
When it flows?
No,
very
today.
Very rare. Very
right
rare.
Now.
Well, obviously not today.
Right.
Be real.
Thank you. You're realistic. I like that about you.
Perfect assessment.
Elizabeth is here tonight from The Apprentice, 9 o'clock on Thursday nights, NBC. I think my new show, Drawn Together, is on Comedy Central.
I found one of my kids watching that show.
Ooh, filthy. Yeah, you should be upset. I think that's on tonight at 10:30. Go check that out. It's a big hit.
Oh, so mad at him.
Thank you. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Elizabeth is here tonight from The Apprentice, the fantastic show The Apprentice. She was booted off the week before last, right?
That's
right. Kicked off last week?
Raj was last week.
Nice to see him go.
And another one tomorrow night.
Yeah.
That's right. It's coming up.
And, yeah, I don't know who's...
There's some difficult women in that group.
Yes, that's true.
The women don't do as well with the women as the men do with the men.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've learned, well, something we've known.
But, you know, if you watched last season, the women dominated when they were together.
They did. There still seemed like there was more infighting with them, even though they were productive. And they did, they did win. It's horrible for guys to get beat consistently by women. It really is. Women, you get beat by guys, you don't like it. But we have the part where we got beat, and then we got beat by women. You just have the part where you got beat. Think about it.
Let's think about that underlying assumption there, Adam.
Think
that's
about
making
it.
That bother you.
Bothers all men.
It's back to the small penis again.
Exactly.
You know what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh. Well, now I do.
Women.
I've been educated.
You know what? I disagree with you because I'll tell you why.
All right. Well, be prepared to be wrong.
Well, that men that have been competing with women straight along through their out there professional training, you don't really make that distinction. It's just a peer competing with you.
No. Untrue. Because...
So, Adam, are you saying that you don't consider women peers? Is that what you're saying?
No. Well, first off, to me, peers are things that hold up peers.
Ah.
They're like the pylons.
Of,
yeah.
You
just go, there's old guys there who close one eye when they talk.
Yeah.
And they call you champ. And they're fishing for lunch. I love the gals, but here's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is as a male, it starts in the schoolyard. If a girl beats you at a sporting you know, that's how you compete, really. You compete in sports when you're very young. You're in the third grade. If a woman beats you, it's considered humiliating. For guys, it carries on into life to some degree. For some guys, it's almost nothing. For other guys, it's a huge deal. But there's usually a little something. If you got a little testosterone flowing through you, you don't like being, you'd rather just be beat by a guy than you would be beat by a woman. Now, as a woman, the idea of being beat by a guy is almost, now this is going to sound horrible, expected as far as society goes. Society.
Great. No, more like graceful.
Yeah, you've done the right thing.
Yeah,
you were noble. All I'm saying is when we get beat, you know what it feels like? Here's what it feels like. It feels like we were the favorite and we lost to the underdog. When you feel like you're the underdog and you lose to the favorite, you can hold your head up high. Yeah. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying for guys, it's a 1-2. You lost and you were the favorite.
Okay.
Societal, somehow. Yeah. You felt it in your ego.
I could see how you would feel like that if you were basing it on things like physical challenges, you know, like sports
but
things
but
like
he's
that.
It's not logical.
Particularly guys that don't go through their, you know, lengthy educational career with women, they remain back with that physical.
I think that's the main difference is if you have been challenged intellectually and you're comparing those kinds of things and having those experiences, then you do grow up with a sense of peer relationship.
You do, so, yes.
But, you know, you're an athlete, so we get it.
No. Yeah.
Such accomplished a athlete. Accomplished.
No.
Important athlete.
And a celloist as well. All I'm saying is it is a guy, you know, we operate on certain levels, doesn't matter.
I used to beat guys, you know, at races and stuff. So
they
I'm having a hard time, you know.
No, I'm not saying that guys don't. I'm not saying guys win every event. I'm just saying it stings more from a woman.
You.
That's the way it goes. It's by the way, every time you make one of these distinctions, difference between genders, it's perceived as some sort of genderism or some sort of sexism. It's not. It's just the way it is. Guys,
you're just describing a state of affairs.
That's right. Okay. That's what I'm saying.
Right,
I'm not
thank
saying
calls.
Not
Bring
saying
it
it's good that they think that way. I'm saying it's worse. It's
not
worse
that
when
there's
you
anything
lose.
Wrong with that.
Right.
Very, very defensive, man. My goodness.
Yeah, me. I'm defensive. Look at this one.
I gotta represent. I'm the only chick here.
Yeah, but okay. Hey, you got one right over here. What do you got over here? Josh?
Yes.
You're 21.
Correct.
And by the way, you're not the only chick. You got Drew. Believe me. Josh? Thank
yes,
you.
When, during wife. Sex, my girlfriend, she contracts her vagina muscles, and it actually pushes my penis out, and it's very hard to put it back in. And I was wondering, she said this never happened with any other guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not sure what...
How old is she?
She's 20.
Well, you're describing vaginismus, which is sort of a spasmatic contracture of the pelvic floor musculature. And
oh, really?
It usually makes it difficult to achieve penetration. And it can be painful for women when they're having this thing. And why she's having it, maybe nervous, anxious, maybe there's an anatomical disproportion.
Why halfway into it, though? You don't hear about that.
No, it's...
No, that's rare.
Yeah, it's we're pretty well into it when it starts.
Yeah.
Right. So, and it'll actually push me out, and then it's hard to get it back in. And we can eventually get it, but it's really hard.
Sure. No, I know, but you really have to buckle down. You get a running start, like a tube of margarine.
Focus.
Yeah, you really got to focus. You got that ninja. All right. And by the way, guys. Boy, when it comes, even guys that don't finish the orgasm. You know what I mean? Like guys can't turn in anything, can't finish any homework, can't do their book report, can't keep a job. They can't do the orgasm. Oh man, they're like ninjas.
In fact, they're better. Those guys are actually better
at that.
Right?
Yeah, they're hell bent for leather when it comes to their finishing the orgasm. All right, I don't know. Do you know?
She can be treated for vaginismus. She can.
How she get treated for it?
How long has it been going on for with her?
How's she get treated for it?
There's various treatments out there. They even have graduated cylinders.
The last few times we've only been dating for 2 weeks and only had.
No! All bets are off.
2 weeks.
You're right at the beginning. Just get things relaxed. Calm down. Take it easy.
Once
you guys are comfortable together, this thing probably will quiet down. All right.
Okay.
All right. Good times.
All right. Enjoy.
Abadanza.
I want this guy's.
All right.
Just got out of the joint.
Right.
I want to talk to him. Mark.
Yeah.
27.
Yes, sir.
What's up?
What's up, guys? Like you said, I just got out of jail. Actually, I got out of jail and went to rehab. And I'm a recovering drug addict, and I got a 9-year-old kid. And I was wondering if there's anything I can do, maybe when he's, you know, 11 or 12 counseling-wise, it's going to help him from becoming a drug addict or a virus.
Do you think... Hold on, you're calling from Oklahoma?
Yes, sir.
All right, I'm going out on a limb here. Jew. Jew. Are you Jewish?
No. I'm Indian, brother.
Believe I'm wrong about that. Indian?
Well, that's interesting. Mark, usually it's about 50% per child, the probability of getting the gene from
right.
From
dad. Well, my dad's alcoholic, that's why.
But if you're Indian,
it's higher, right, believe it or not.
Right.
Cherokee, particularly, I've noticed, is almost a... Choctaw?
Yeah.
Navajo. What are you?
Choctaw.
Oh, Choctaw.
What's that?
It's Choctaw. Yeah.
That's what you speak.
I do speak a little Choctaw.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Do you speak any Choctaw?
No.
Oh, okay. We could talk, you know.
I hear you, man.
Choctaw is, if I understand, is sort of, that's that southeastern related to Cherokee.
I can understand it. I just can't speak it. So, do you want me to translate?
Listen, we would get a visit from Chief Thunderbear, and Elizabeth will translate. This is going to be good. All right, but here's the deal, Mark. So there's a high probability that he has the genetic predisposition.
Okay, well, I mean, is there anything I can do?
Yeah, there's two things. There's a couple things you can do.
Because he's kind of visiting me in jail and in rehab.
Yeah. Mark, here's the deal. Here's the deal. Your instincts are right on with this. A, get him involved in your recovery. Get him to Alateen, codependency recovery programs, all right?
Okay.
B, educate him as much as you can about the disease and the consequences it's had for you.
Right.
And then C, if you can get him an individual therapist, if you can afford that, now's the time.
When he's 9 years old, this is the time.
In fact, I was involved with an expert, with a group of experts down at the Carter Center in Atlanta, and everyone decided that the consensus there was that if you can intervene by 8, you have the highest probability of really making
it. He's pretty sharp, man. He's a pretty sharp kid. So.
Well, you bring it on. You sound like you're right in the right place for helping him.
All right, and your recovery,
by the way, your sustained recovery will have a greater impact on him than just about anything else.
All right. Well, I'm gonna say something to y'all too, man. Y'all's pretty big in jail, man.
Thank you.
Everybody. You got a radio, man, from 10 to 12. They got that love line on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to give a shout-out to all my felon peeps out there.
Which prison was this?
I was just in Tulsa County.
Everyone in Tulsa County, give them a shout-out.
I'll tell you, it's too bad those folks, you know, they don't get the Arbitron books over there. You never know about the ratings, you know what I mean? I felt like if they gave the incarcerated those ratings books, we'd be number one in every city we're at.
Of course we would.
The incarcerated people love us. The captive audience is really our audience.
I can see
audience.
That about you.
Yeah. They draw pictures, send them to you once in a while. It's fantastic.
Everybody loves you guys, though. Yeah, I mean, come on.
Yeah, but for some reason, I don't know what it is. I think when you're incarcerated, you want to hear some talk.
Yeah.
Like if I was incarcerated and I was just lying there before lights out or lights just went out and I heard Maneater, I would kill myself. I'd pull the lid off my toilet and I would whack myself in the head until I died.
In fact, yeah.
Yeah. But I would like to hear the nasally drone of my own voice. I would actually do, that's what I'd do. If I ever got in the joint, I would do my own radio show from the hole.
Well, it sort of it represents, as you said.
Yeah, the show, we keep it real, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Keeping it real.
Motivate.
Semper Fi. Elizabeth here from The Apprentice, Thursday nights, 9 o'clock on NBC. We'll not break yet. Let's talk to you. You want to talk to Gwen?
Yeah.
Elizabeth, is there anything surprising about Trump? Is there anything...
Yes, he has a sense of humor.
Good sense of humor.
A huge sense of humor. He's very funny.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he's always so...
He seems so serious,
He's serious with you guys.
Yeah, he's very serious.
When does he get to...
You know, once in a while, the cameras, we'd be waiting for something, and he would crack a joke. And he was so funny. I wish they would put it on camera more often.
Mm. Is he funny like, hey, this guy owns the building, laugh it up funny, or is he really funny?
Well, nobody's funny like you, Adam.
Yeah.
But,
this woman knows exactly what to say.
Number one in the joint. Trump has his own style,
you know?
Yeah. All right. Okay.
I had dinner with him once.
You did?
Yeah.
Was he funny?
Hold on. Drew does this kind of stuff, you and 185 people.
No. We were judging in this contest, and there was 12 judges, and there were 4 people at a table.
All Miss Universe.
At my table was Martha Stewart and Donald Trump.
Really?
And me. At your table?
At my table.
And
it was just the four of us.
So, wow.
Yeah.
You, your wife.
No. I don't remember the fourth person.
Oh, you don't remember the other person?
Yeah.
It still could have been your wife.
It was
his
wife.
It was somebody. Nice.
Oh.
It was somebody from the organization, the Miss USA organization.
Okay. Yeah. But by the way, if it had been your wife, you would have had to have the sniper.
Did you see that white man overbite in like one of the Apprentice episodes where he's watching the models or something? That was funny.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, where he's sitting
where he's,
there.
He's kind of dancing like this, you know, and he's got the...
You know about Trump?
Yeah, Trump.
Yeah, Trump just...
It's my favorite piece.
Trump just sitting there next to his super hot Eurotrash.
Melania. She's gorgeous, you guys. She's more beautiful in person.
Super hot Eurotrash? Is that what you call
her? Well, that's what she is. And by the way, her real name is probably Geraldine, but, you know, well, when they come over here.
You know, we went to dinner there, episode one, or my team won, and we went to dinner. It was like being in a castle. I mean, you know.
Oh, well, first off, but Trump's...
He's never there.
Trump's condo looks like a Turkish whorehouse. I mean, oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. I mean, I don't know what part of the... is Trump a Middle Eastern name? Where'd you get that horrible taste, by the way?
I think he's branded it in that area. But.
Oh, my God. Please, buddy. There's something called taste. Use it. But here's the thing. He's up to his wife or his girlfriend or whatever du jour smoking hot.
Yeah.
Just a crazy smoking hot. But he's sitting there watching the Miss Universe or Miss USA pageant or whatever he owns. He's just sitting there. He looks like a cheetah in the high brush looking at, you know, when he's looking at the zebras at the watering hole. Just thinking, where's my next victim? I'm getting one of these chicks, maybe two. Yeah. All right. All right.
All right. Now we're breaking.
Let me say this, too.
Oh, please, don't. Do. I mean, don't.
Trump, he does his house up like, his whole house looks like Elvis's bathroom.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous, right? He dates all these Eurotrash chicks. Do you think he feels like he doesn't have class or something and he has to kind of compensate and go the other direction? Like, feels...
Well, kind of like guys who buy big cars?
Yeah.
It's a penis thing,
trying too hard. No, I'm not saying small penis. I think there's a part of him that feels...
That's what guys do with a small penis. They compensate. He's compensating.
But Trump has a lot of power.
According to our previous conversation,
that would impact that in a positive way.
Well, maybe went from tiny to small.
Right, see.
Okay, but here's the thing. No, I don't feel that way. I mean, I just feel like I think sometimes that rich Americans don't feel like they belong, or they feel sort of rich but stupid and rich. They don't feel classy and elegant. They don't feel elegant and rich. It's not that European rich. Yeah. So they go over the top by getting it, you know. So you don't want to be seen with the ditzy American chick. You get the Euro chick, and you do everything up in this sort of gaudy Euro style.
Yes? Yes, thank you.
All right. Thank you. Now who has insight?
And also, I looked at that, though, and I thought to myself, at a certain point, I wonder if people get bored with other kinds of style, and if they've got unlimited funds, there's just this one to go after, which is the overdone one.
This is why, you know why? This is why I believe the Richard Gere gerbil in the ass story.
Right.
You nailing Cindy Crawford for a few years, like, where you go? Get the gerbil.
There you go.
Call, hey, bring out the gerbil. All right.
Chop. Size of a gerbil.
All right, Arabian Nights reference, everyone. Elizabeth is here from The Apprentice. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Tomorrow night on the show, we're going to have Jason Bateman and Will Arnett from Arrested Development, which is really the darling of the Emmys last year.
A rapist.
There he is.
There he is. Elizabeth here tonight from The Apprentice.
Yeah, I might come back tomorrow for Jason.
Yeah, he's cute.
There you go.
Good kid down there, too. Oh, we'll see now. We'll see after the Emmys.
They came back. You know what I mean? They're here on the show.
Yeah, but they're just to rub it in our faces.
Could be.
They're going to be pretty well cooked up.
Right, yeah.
Have some hookers with them. Yeah. Car's going to be running out there.
Yeah. Now, Quaaludes is the word of the day, isn't it?
Yeah. What about the Quaaludes, Drew? Where are the Quaaludes?
They gone.
I'll tell you. Here's the problem with Quaalude. People start describing it as a six-pack in a pill. Whoa. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just think it's a neat word to say, Quaalude.
Quaalude. It sounds like you get effed up just saying Quaalude.
It's
like that movie Candyman. You say Quaalude five times, you get high.
Quaalude.
I mean, people should start naming their kids Quaalude.
Methaqualone.
I'm sure there are many members of the black community taking that, Kim. Speaking of the community, Drew.
Yeah.
very tragic day. Yasser Arafat has passed away.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure, first off, I'm picturing his funeral. They have to have it on a weekend because people don't have time to take to the streets in that part of the world during the weekdays. Mm-hmm. They're all pretty hard. Yeah. they're hard at work. So you wouldn't. And I'm sure it'll be something small, something tasteful.
No guns.
This is going to be great. There are going to be 500 people killed from the ammunition from the M16s they fire off over their heads. Or actually, I think Uzis is what they would probably be using there, Kalashnikovs or something. But, when the bullets then return to Earth, they'll go through a lot of kids' heads. But it'll be a good time. Anyway, great to see him dead, everybody. Let's go. Let's keep our fingers crossed for Fidel. Hopefully he'll trip on something and land on a bullet. Perhaps a bullet will land in that old F's brain. That'd be nice, too. And by the way, it's good when bad things happen to bad people. We have to start celebrating that in this country. As good as it is, actually better. When good things happen to good people, you know, when the woman has been serving her community and has a disability, and all of a sudden the home makeover people come in, as good as you feel about that, you should even feel better when bad people die. You really should if you think about it. You really, guys like Dahmer get raped in prison and then get violated with a broomstick and then killed in the bathroom. Better than the woman who's been serving your community. If you just look at it cosmically, better that bad things happen. And by the way, you don't believe me, do the math. Wouldn't it have been nice if Hitler got hit with a nice piece of debris or something and crushed when he was, somewhere around 1938, 39? Would have been good, right?
Right.
See, I was brought up Catholic, so the guilt immediately sets in, and I'm starting to think, okay, if you feel good about bad things happening to people, then all of a sudden you're one of the bad people.
You're
then what?
No, not as a matter of fact, good people are supposed to do bad things to bad people.
Right.
We're supposed to kill them.
No,
good people kill bad people.
But you're also not supposed to have remorse when when God takes his
exact
justice
his revenge.
Out.
Exactly. Yes. Swift sword of justice.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. And by the way, just hypothetical. Take Stalin, take Hitler, take anybody.
By the way, I was born the same day Hitler was.
Who?
Would you? Mm. Oh, now it's trouble. All the
See, now a whole new personality emerges.
Is would you rather just go back to Stalin's early days or Hitler's early days? Would you rather his neighbor, his very deserving neighbor, get a complete home makeover or he get a bullet in the head maybe in his,
There you go.
Early 30s. Huh?
Nice.
Think about it.
Well said, Adam.
All right.
Nice.
Thank you.
It's important to think about those kinds
so,
of things.
Yes, there's going to be missed.
Gwen? 17. Yeah, Gwen.
Hi.
Hey.
What's happening?
I was wondering if the fact that I'm very, very...
Hold on. What's your sign, your zodiac sign, Elizabeth?
I am smack in the middle of Aries and Taurus.
Oh, really?
Nobody can figure it out.
You're a cusper.
I'm a cusper.
So Hitler was a cusper, too.
Yeah. Well, I think it also depends on what time you were born. So...
I'm going to look into that. Gwen?
Yes?
It's amazing. I don't know what Hitler's sign is. There's probably, I go home and watch the History Channel. There's probably 13 specials called Hitler's Sign, Zodiac. Apparently, she's like, he's compatible with Geminis. I should have known that. All right, go ahead, Gwen.
Hi. I was wondering, by the way, I love the show. I was wondering if my being very thin has anything to do with painful sex.
No. Here's I'm going to.
Are you small? Thin and the small. Are you small?
I don't know because my friends are all telling me that it's because I'm really, really skinny.
I'm going to do the math. I'm going to guess you were victimized at some point.
You were sexually abused?
Not that I know of.
Not physically either.
No.
Nobody ever hit you with anything growing up.
My dad used to beat up on my mom, but not on me.
That's traumatizing.
That's a freak of girl out. Not the same, but a freak out. And he would, when you say beat up on your mom, what does that mean?
Well, he'd come home drunk and do stupid ass.
All right. So, understandably, that you would have a lot of mixed feelings and anxiety about being with a man, particularly in an intimate situation. So, what Adam is building towards, that you may be similar to the caller we had a little while ago who's vagina was clamping down, you may be having a certain amount of muscular spasm, and that's making it seem like you're sort of too small and it causes pain with it.
You don't have an eating disorder, do you?
Oh, God, no.
No, you're just small. All right.
I'm really tall.
Yeah, but you're slender.
How thin are you?
I'm 5'11", and I weigh 108.
Oh, that's spindly.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So that's not the reason you're having pain, though.
We got to get some weight on you. Hey, I just had this idea, really. I was thinking, you know, sorry. guys come home drunk and they beat on their wife. It's an age-old thing.
Oh, sure.
I think we need to get these guys TiVo. Because I come home drunk and I think, oh, I got to beat on my wife. You know, I take one step up the stairs and then I go, oh, wait a minute, TiVo. I got Sports Center on there. I got the History Channel. Oh, I got Modern Mar. What night is it? Oh, Prentice.
That's mad.
TiVo has changed my life, let me tell you.
And you know what?
I'm dating my TiVo, for sure.
I'm actually raping mine. I mean, I know.
And he surprises me with things that, you know, I don't even know I would like.
He put
a hole
in the side of his. It's amazing.
It's crazy. That's awesome. Getting a little TiVo guy. No, I know. I really do think, like, when you're drunk, you really want to watch TiVo. It's like you want to do everything that you like a little bit more when you're drunk. If you like eating, then you're drunk, you really want to eat. And all that you like screwing, you're drunk, you really want to screw. For me, it's TiVo. I really want to watch TiVo, and I just don't have time to beat anymore.
Speaks volumes.
I'm serious, Drew. If we got some of these abusive guys TiVos, and I said, look, you smack on your wife, we're taking the TiVo away. Uh-huh. They would just walk through the trailer door, and head right into the TiVo.
Yeah, you're right.
Yes?
Good.
All right. Thank you. Elizabeth, and I got to think of something that rhymes with TiVos for the program. You know, TiVos, not punchos. You know what I'm saying?
Because otherwise you can't.
You need a retarded aphorism. Yes. Otherwise you can't get any charitable stuff going.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
I'll think of it.
Yeah. Or you
get
come up.
Get Stevo the TiVo.
Yeah.
Something
close.
Like that.
Yeah. Or you got to do the retarded acronym too. Like, you know, you're getting the GLADS and the DARE.
Right.
Dare. I like Dare. Dare's one. All right, work on it. Elizabeth here from The Apprentice. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Elizabeth, the delightful and foxy Elizabeth. You're not intimidating.
Elizabeth, she's
beautiful, smart.
Yeah. I like that. Foxy.
Got her ass together. Absolutely. Dynamo, but overachiever.
Yes, that's true.
Pushes too hard.
That's true.
Give you a headache eventually. Got to learn to relax every once in a while,
baby.
I know. Take it
TiVo.
Easy.
My
Get
cheeks are
TiVo.
Clenched as we speak.
You need some TiVo. TiVo for the men to give them to stop beating on their women when they're drunk, and TiVo for the overachieving women to just unwind a little bit. Yeah?
That's right. Watch. Maybe that's why I love TiVo so much.
Really?
Yeah, maybe.
But
you don't know?
It's efficient. That's probably
that's
why you
true.
Like it.
That's true. Yeah. It's exactly where I like it, to be honest.
Let me say this. I'll give you the same advice I give Drew. Drew is...
Because Drew's a woman, right?
Well, Drew is... Drew, yeah. Maybe even... I don't know if there's something beyond woman. Drew is...
It's the best of both worlds. Come on now.
Drew is a... he's a very motivated guy. And he gets a lot done based on that. But then there's a certain point where... You just drive yourself nuts with the motivation, and you're not really getting that much done.
There's a point of diminishing return.
The more you do it, you're not really getting any more done. You're just scared not to be motivated all the time. Mm-hmm. There are ways to actually achieve results.
To be more efficient. Yeah.
And to lower the speed on your treadmill
a
little bit.
I think you're right.
And I think, here's an interesting thing. Drew, and this happens to a lot of people, become so obsessed with the speed that their treadmill is set to, they miss the efficiency part.
Mm-hmm.
And then ultimately end up covering less ground, mm-hmm. because it's the cadence rather than the actual, they don't get the gestalt of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Wow. Takes a big woman to agree with me. Elizabeth, do you have that too?
I have a big ass.
I'm just saying where, you know.
I do.
Don't wear horizontal. Oh, please.
I do.
You have a beautiful rear end.
You know, but I don't know where it came from.
Your beautiful rear end?
It's like a Latin butt, you know, but I'm not Latin.
It's nice. It's very
nice. It's definitely there.
No, but it's not big and bubbly.
It's bubbly.
It's beautiful.
I'll show you.
All right.
I have a butt.
Yeah, you have a butt, which is...
That's not a white girl's butt, right?
Please step back a little bit so I can get a little... Oh, no. No, watch out. Drew may be a woman, but he's all man. Yeah, you watch out, because you know what just happened to Drew when
you guys
when
are putty in my hands now. It just took me a little while.
That was two tugs on the chainsaw, and you're lucky it didn't catch. when you turn around, the only time it happened to Drew... Vroom, vroom, if it started, we'd all be gone. They'd actually take us all out. Don't ever do that again, or at least wait till I'm out of the room. No. Drew, avert your gaze. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I'll tell you.
So am I right?
No. I will say.
Admit it, Adam.
You have a beautiful rear end. It's just right. Drew would love to say it, but his wife is listening. But it is. It's not flat. It's not bulbous. It's just right there.
There you go.
Perfect. You work hard. Do you work out?
I do. I work out a lot.
Yeah. Shocking. No eating disorder.
No.
Just working out.
That's right.
All right. But listen, do you have a man?
No.
You single?
Yep.
Reel it in. You're going to drive a guy nuts. Intimidate him. Just reel it in a little bit. And here's the thing. Here's what the achievers do. And again, we're talking about this earlier, how guys don't like to get beat by women, and it's unfair, but it's kind of true. Guys will have a harder time with a super motivated woman. They will be intimidated. You have to, even if you're motivated, you have to reel it in a little around them.
They get
freaked out.
Are you telling women to pretend we're not who we are?
I am saying. Here's what happens. All right, seriously.
Mm-hmm. Backpedal,
I'm gonna give you great advice here. Motivated people look at it as it's a virtue through and through. It's a great thing, and it is to a certain degree. But there's a part of it that's an illness, just like people that do drugs or do whatever excessively.
Called addiction to success.
There is a part to it, and then you get into this thing where, like, hey, if he's too shallow to handle a successful person, then I don't need. Like, next, you know, you're 45 and you got nobody. There's a balance to strike, and it sounds bad to say, like, oh well, look, I'm so successful. So motivated, he's not interested because he's intimidated. No, it's not just that.
Let me refine it, see if I can get for it.
Thank you.
Because I suffer from the condition. It's partly an anxiety disorder. And the anxiety is coming out of your pores all the time, and it overwhelms people.
Mine's coming out of my butt.
Right.
Yeah. But people get like, whoa, I need to relax here. I need to calm down. You know, I just want to
right.
be with this person.
And as a guy, you don't really – women, you don't respond to the same things, and you can do okay with that. But as a woman, you can freak a guy out because
it's overwhelmed.
They're overwhelmed. And then you go, well, he was intimidated because I'm successful.
It's not intimidation.
That's the point. Yes. That's
See,
what
I
I'm saying.
But I believe that if you're a strong man, you, that wouldn't intimidate you.
We're not intimidated. You perceive it as intimidation, so you can go on with the dance. As guys, we're just driven crazy by it. It's like, oh, this broad won't shut up. She's driving me nuts, and I'm feeling anxious every time I'm around her. She can't relax.
That's the thing. Guys feel anxious around.
Right? You say,
wait,
well,
wait,
he's
the guy
intimidated.
Feels anxious, or the woman feels anxious?
The guy feels anxious because half the ugly cousin of the motivated person is anxiety. They produce that, and it freaks people out. It's hard to hang out because your motor's going all
the
time.
So now, do guys get anxious around motivated men?
No, because they go home.
They'll go away from there. They'll kick their ass. They'll physicalize it. They'll start beating them up.
Yeah. Or they.
Are you being serious?
No, yeah.
This is the reason for football.
But they'll physically.
We don't have to go away for weekends with these guys and stay in bed and breakfasts. We just see them at the boardroom, at the office, and then we go home and talk about it.
I drive my wife crazy with some of that stuff, but she gets angry and responds. She gets overwhelmed and then angry.
Yeah.
And I don't know. How do they react? They get
what with women that way?
Yeah.
I think it's. It's what you said earlier. I think they feel like there's too much anxiety, and they tend to reel they don't want to be around them as much.
They don't even know why, really, probably.
Right.
They don't even know what...
All right.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Listen, you know what you got to do? You got to eat a pot brownie every once in a while. Do you eat pot? You got to eat some pot. Or do a lude. You want to do a lude? Drew, do you got those ludes? Did I tell you to get those ludes?
Many times.
Are the ludes?
Many times you told me.
Yeah, you got to mellow out. I'm telling you, start smoking pot. Now, here's the thing about pot. The people that smoke pot shouldn't be smoking pot.
Right.
People that don't smoke pot need to smoke pot.
Nice.
It's weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There you go.
I have some Klonopin in my bag right now.
Do you have something?
No.
Do we shoot it at her like a dart, or do you just take it like
a
pill?
You know what you've done. He's going to reach in and take all your meds.
What do you got in there, really? Klonopin. What is that? Is that good?
He hasn't ever asked you to score for him?
No, he will.
No.
All right, I'm going to need one of those.
What do you need, Adam?
And listen, I'll pay street price for it. I mean, is it 10 bucks a pill, 20?
Street price.
Go to the ATM. What do we got to do? All right, let's keep rocking.
We got to break it down.
Let's go. We're going to play Ace's accordion Mexican Ranchero Countdown.
Let's do that now.
No. We got to take some calls because we got to help some kids.
All right.
All right? And then it's then we'll play the Ranchero Countdown. Gerald?
Yeah.
You're 21?
Yeah, I'm 21.
What's up?
The problem is I got this friend, and we hang out a lot, and I don't know whether or not I should ask her out on a date.
Why wouldn't you?
Why would? Because if I ask her out and she, you know, rejects me, it's going to get weird.
Has she given you any signs that might be helpful?
See, that's another thing. I really don't know what signs to look for.
Okay, Adam, give him the talk. The hand drag and the hanging out. And the,
ooh, yeah.
You haven't had that.
Yeah, has she touched you when you talk to her?
Yeah, right
to
they touch.
Yeah, but she's like one of those super friendly people that touches people when they talk.
She wouldn't hang out with you and do that.
But a woman typically puts a guard up if she's not interested. So if she touched you, that probably means she's interested.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, women, most women, sane women, will not want you interested or even thinking that she's interested if she's not.
Right.
Exactly.
And then there's screwed up women who need to be desired by everybody, and they just do that to everybody. Yeah. So they just sort of reel in as many customers as they can and then turn people
so
down.
The question is she screwed up?
Yeah. Is she screwed up?
I don't think so.
Okay,
what's up with you, Gerald? You can't ask somebody out. I'm confused.
Mm-hmm. 21.
Well, I kind of get it. Because how long have you guys been friends?
Like 3 months.
3 months. How did you meet her? How'd you two come together?
Through work. I just introduced myself, and, you know, we just started hanging out.
You guys work at the same place?
Yeah, at the same place.
What kind of work?
What kind of work, yeah.
Customer service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she's single.
I knew Gerald was either customer service or auctioneer.
You guys go out? You go on outings? You go to movies?
We go bike riding, and sometimes we watch movies at her house.
At her house?
Yeah, at our house.
Okay. And she doesn't... Does she live at home?
Yeah, she lives at home.
Okay.
With her parents?
Yeah.
Yeah, but and, we have you know, night jobs, so they're usually gone.
Right. What? Okay. And... What do you, I'm sorry. Here's what you have to do. You need to do a nighttime date. You don't have to call it a date. You have to work booze into it. I hate to say it, or maybe lewds. Lewds, it's like a six-pack.
Pot brownies, as you say.
Yeah, Klonopin, or what do you have over there?
Klonopin.
Okay, save one of those. So you have to go out at night. That's what you need to do. You need to do a date.
Yes.
You need to pick her up. Don't meet her at the restaurant.
I don't think you have anything to worry about.
No, you don't.
I find it bizarre that you haven't closed the deal sooner.
Well, women will let you know subtly if they're interested, but if a guy's radar dish is smashed, he's not going to pick up on anything.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't throw herself at him.
The fact that you met
Adam,
at
you're
work,
kind of
yeah.
saying, you know, take her out, get her drunk. I mean, why not just go for it and say, you know, go out. I mean, I want to take you on a real date.
Well,
tonight.
I'll tell you why. I don't think he's got the huevos to do that. I don't think he has to waive us.
All right, so Jared, let me ask you this. I mean, if you ask her out and she rejects you and you guys are no longer friends, can you live with that? Can you live with no longer being friends with this girl?
Yeah.
Well, then you got to go for it. You got to put it all out there.
Also, women know when you're asking them out. If you say to them, like, look, Saturday night, you want to go to this place, a nice restaurant, and we go out to a movie or watch something after. They kind of know the difference between that and going on the bike ride during the day. Right. And
in fact,
yes, but they also know if you're asking them out but not really asking them out. You know what I mean? Like a woman will know if you're saying, let's go to, I don't know, a movie on Saturday night, and you don't come out and say, I want to take you on a date, then she's put in a situation to say, does he think it is a date? Does he not think it's a date?
Well,
maybe he doesn't have enough.
Here's what I'm saying. I don't think you have to verbally label it a date. You just make the date. Go out. I'm only saying booze because a couple glasses of wine helps people sort of relax a little. More for Gerald than for her. And then over dinner, start going that direction. That's all. That's fine. I don't think he's got the way of us to ask her out. It's going to be weird. And she'll know what he's doing if he makes it first Saturday night. All right. And women touch you when they like you. they drag their hand on you. We haven't gotten into this for a while, you know. Women that don't like you don't want to touch you, by the way. They're freaked out by you. They won't even really punch you or anything. And once in a while, there's a situation where, like, oh, the...
they won't even punch you. Did you pick up on that?
they don't even screw around with it. They don't even do what Peppermint Patty did to Charlie Brown. Right. And here's the other thing, too. Is like
she
once
liked him.
There's some chick at work you like, and then you got your second quarter earnings in, and they were through the roof, and everyone's hugging each other, and there's that uncomfortable moment where you have to hug
board.
Her. Yeah, it's like someone tipped an ironing board against you. It's like that's what it feels like. It's feel every vertebra in their spine, and you'll get nothing back. But when they like you, oh, my God, oh, you're so funny, and the little hand drags all the time. Am I right?
You're right.
And the drag, they do, and they just a little.
Oh, the drag is a dead giveaway. But a touch can also mean that she likes you.
Yeah. Touch can, but if you, okay, touch.
I mean, if she's dragging, I'm forgetting.
Yeah, you get subtle drag. Even in the handshake, you'll get the subtle drag.
The lingering, anything lingering.
Yeah, any linger, except for a fart. Sometimes those won't go away.
Well, that's your problem, though.
I'm saying if there's any lingering physically, if there's a hand or whatever,
discussion lingering, waiting during the crazy pause,
waiting for the lull.
Yeah,
waiting
lull
for the lull.
Conversation. Well,
watch. Let's work through a lull.
There we go.
Let's work through a lull.
All right, let's do that.
All right. So I get to be the dude.
All right, of course.
All right, we're
established.
We're at the party.
Yes.
Right.
Uh-huh.
It's Mark's party.
Yes. Okay.
How do you know Mark?
Oh, we work together.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Hardwood floors in here are gray, right?
I love hardwood floors.
Yeah, see, they hang for the pause. They go through the pause as opposed to,
But
they give you like a...
Yeah, they're waiting. They're waiting. Here's the other one. You be the chick.
Yeah,
you be the chick.
Okay.
All right.
I'll be the chick.
I bring stuff up. You're not qualified.
Oh my god!
Because
I'm not qualified. Do you know how many pauses I've done in my life?
you be the chick. But see, you don't know what the game is.
Well, she's the chick.
All right, I'm gonna feed you the answer. Okay, watch. Okay, let's just see if you work instinctively this way. Anything the person brings up, you're into. Yeah. Man, heard amazing things about that.
Incredibles.
The Incredibles.
Oh my God, I know. My friend saw that movie, and they said it was the best thing they've ever seen.
I'm thinking about checking it out.
I know, me too.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, see, that's it. That's
you're
it.
In. Boom.
You're in.
As opposed to giving the alternative.
Give me the chick that doesn't want to go out.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And Incredibles, heard amazing things about. I'm thinking about checking it out.
What is that?
It's a new Disney Pixar flick. Supposed to be amazing. I mean, do you like animation?
You know, I'm not really into the Disney movies. I don't know.
This isn't Cinderella. This is, computer-driven animation.
Right, but cartoons are kind of like for the little kids.
Yeah,
and
sidebar. Right. Sidebar.
Wow.
Ball buster.
Good.
We need to slide.
Penis goes right in the ass. Search Brown in vagina. Got to get out of there. Before you get boobs. Yeah. No, that's the thing. Like they won't give you.
But the guys will not pick up on that.
They won't give you anything.
Well, that's a whole nother conversation.
But that's what stupid men are, really.
But
no one trains motels men that's how it works. They don't know. They think they're sort of trained that, well, she's not responding. Push harder. Keep going.
The outcome's the same. They don't go to the movie that weekend.
Right.
And women will be creative about, like, not only have I not seen this movie, but I just don't like animation.
They just go negative.
When they're into something, I swear to God, if they could go into anaphylactic shock if they came near seafood and you could say, I know a great seafood place right by the wharf, they'd be like, oh, okay, I'll buy my lobster bib. I'll be there. I wish someone had told me that. By the way, really wish I had.
We had so many years of pain.
Did I pass the
torture.
Test? Am I the chick?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay.
You can now, from
excellent.
Now on, you're the official Loveline chick.
All right.
Fantastic. We may need you in here tomorrow night. We got a couple guys.
Jason.
She wants to see Jason.
All right. Well, come in tomorrow night and see him.
Do the hand drag on him.
Yeah, give him the hand drag.
We'll test it out and we'll see if he gets it.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll figure it out. Well.
Will would get it.
It's a good experiment.
Do the gag where
I'm here for you.
You do the gag where
I am
present
here for
with your
you.
Ass. He'll get that part. Believe you me.
You present.
I got that. That was presenting.
Your ass.
That was nothing short of presenting.
Lordosis and presentation.
That's what that was.
It's a juicy jeans.
You give him the hand, yeah. You give him the hand drag, give him the ass thing. You guys go, you'll be seeing The Incredibles this weekend.
In like Flynn.
Hmm. Yep. All right. Where are we?
Kevin. 20.
Kevin, 20.
Oh, let's do Ranchero music. Come on.
All right. Kevin.
Kevin, hang on a second, buddy.
Kevin?
Yes.
Hang on there.
You're 21?
Yep.
All right, hold on. We have to play Ace's Mexican Ranchero Accordion Countdown game. Okay. It's huge. Some people are saying it's bigger than Germany or Florida.
I don't know, but
certain,
I think you
may be
right.
Circles, yeah, certain circles.
I've heard that.
All right, here's how the game is played.
It's rumored.
I've learned from many years of construction that Ranchero music was driven by the accordion, much to my dismay. But and I started listening to it because the guys I work
now,
with.
Elizabeth's from Michigan.
She's from Michigan. So have you
she
seen?
No, you're talking
have
about.
You seen a Mexican?
I've been in LA for 4 years. So yeah.
Okay, watch what you say because Engineer Michelle's got a little that. She'll cut you too.
Uh-huh.
She'll get loaded up on one of those Klarna pins and come and stab you with the number two pencil. She's one of those homegirls.
Okay.
So the point is, the music it grates on my soul and
Mexican.
Ranchero.
Mostly the Ranchero version, although I'm not sure if there's many variations of it. But
it's a mariachi.
I don't mind the mariachi. I'm cool with that. And anyway, it's heavily accordion driven. And I started realizing that not a second goes by without hearing accordion in Ranchero music. And so what happens is, here's how the game is played. Engineer Michelle, she gets it to a random spot in a random Ranchero song. And before she cues it up, we decide how many seconds until we hear the accordion.
All right, but for those of you who don't know, Adam actually played the accordion when he was a child, and and so that's why he doesn't like it. He was traumatized.
Right. Well, yeah. He worked in construction for many years, and he had that pounded into his head.
Yes, yes.
And there was a Mexican that played accordion right next to him.
No, played the Ranchero music, though.
Here's how the radio works in construction. Whatever there's more of, that's the music. If you work with country guys, you got to hear country. If you work with Mexicans, you got to hear Ranchero. And, you know, I was always outnumbered. All right, so Drew.
Oh.
And what? Then I worked with Born Again Christians, and we had to listen to Christian rock.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was so bad. You know,
you
wish
for
day,
Ranchero music.
Yeah, yeah. I was praying for Ranchero music, so you know it's bad.
Oh.
You know what happened, too, is as I was... I started to go nuts after listening to enough Striper, whatever the hell they listen to over there in the Christian rock. I was working with four of these guys installing closets. I said to them finally, I said, can we just put on some, put on KLOS or something. Let me just hear some rock. Hey, please, it's not going to kill you. The songs aren't, it's not all Ozzy Osbourne. There's some. So we flipped it on. And it was Main Street by Bob Seger. Down on Main Street. Yeah. Na, 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 na. Yeah. Nice song. Slow. Nice. So I said to him, what's wrong with this? Now, you got a nice guy strumming acoustic guitar. It's a nice, slow, rhythmic song. He's singing about Main Street. And they're like, he's singing about visiting a prostitute. And I was like, she looks so lovely. Yeah, he is singing about a whore. All right. So the
one
song.
Isn't it amazing how you listen to these songs and you actually sing along and you have no idea what they're talking
about? Listen to Main Street, singing about a prostitute who used to go down to Main Street and she was walking Main Street and she looks so lovely with her long hair. She's banging a prostitute. Yeah, that's right. That's right. The Detroit Rockers banging a prostitute. So I had to say touche. When you guys are right, you're right. We switch it back to Striper. So now, the Ranchero Countdown. Drew, you go first.
2 seconds.
2 seconds? Wow. Drew oftentimes goes immediate. Elizabeth, what do you think?
3.5.
Three and a half.
That's
yeah. David Allen Greer went into the got into the tents too. All right. 3.5. I'm going big, and I'm not going to be puss and go 4. I'm going 7 seconds.
Okay.
All right. Now, wait a minute. We got to wait till we get to a nice round number. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to do the math. You ready there?
Yep.
Michelle? 2, 1. Go. Rojo terciopelo, amarillo el pantalón, camisa verde de cuadritos y sevilla de cowboy. Oh, yeah. That was not 8 seconds. It was 8 seconds. 8 seconds.
That was eternity.
It felt like a lifetime.
Eternity.
At least 30.
We got to play again. We got to play again.
But turn that up a little.
That's not typical Ranchero music.
This is an awesome one, by the way. Now, let me, again, I'm going to do my, holy crap. Is he rapping?
Dude, turn it off.
Keep it up. This is great stuff. All right, I'm going to do a reenactment of me talking to my main man, Ozzy, about 8:30 in the morning. All right?
Set the scene.
It's Monday morning. My buddy Ozzy is at my house. He's doing a little masonry work. I'm in my bathrobe. I've just awoken. I went to bed at 2:30 drunk. I heard this music playing. I've now come downstairs. And it's time to talk about the work we discussed. All right, here we go. Let's go. Ozzy, if you're gonna do stucco work, you got to put a scratch coat on, then a color coat. You don't put the, you can't put a brown coat on more than 3/4 of an inch without putting a scratch coat. Would you shut that music off? Shut it off! Shut it off! That's how it works. That's how it works. That's how it works. All right. All right. Well, that was a good one.
Yeah.
And I got to say, that was 8 seconds. I took seven.
But that was a finesse style. That was a really an unusually good strike on your part.
It really was.
Yeah, 7 seconds.
I've been pretty good, though. I got to say. Mm-hmm. All right. Impressive. Well, that's how you play Ace's Ranchero accordion countdown.
She's
you can
impressed.
See why it's so big.
I'm speechless.
We got to get a home version of this thing going.
We got to take a break.
We got to take a break?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a break. Yeah?
Yeah.
You cool?
I'm cool.
All right. Elizabeth here from The Apprentice, 9 o'clock on Thursday nights, NBC. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Yeah! Hey, buddy. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jason Bateman tomorrow night. Will Arnett. Both of them arrested developed. The Emmy Award-winning Arrested Development. Elizabeth here tonight from The Apprentice on Thursday nights, NBC, 9 o'clock. Drew and I just came back from the Fabulous Kitchen, which we share with the Arrow Classic Rock Station. And I don't know what it is about radio people. They're horrible. They're really... Radio's for, like... Here's what radio is. It's for guys that don't want to grow up. Sort of... there's everything but fecal matter smeared on the wall in that place. The microwave, which was in pristine condition earlier in the day, has the toppings of 3 or 4 pizzas spread out all over the Lucite merry-go-round that's in there.
There was pizza?
There was.
The remains.
The remains.
The burnt-up, crusty remains.
Well, it's as if... I don't know how you get that many pizza toppings on the floor of a microwave without flipping it over or scraping it off.
Well, it's because everything blows up in the microwave if you put it in too long.
Yeah.
Trust me, I know the microwave inside and out.
It could. This seems almost intentional or malicious. The point is now I put my goddamn coffee in there to get a warm-up, and it comes out and it smells like a pizzone. And I think to myself, look, okay, there's a little trouble in the microwave. You open the door. You don't want to just grab a wet nap and wipe it out, you retards. And if you go through the refrigerator of the kitchen over here at the radio station, first of all, I thought we hit an all-time low when I found a Chef Boyardee ravioli can that had 3 raviolis left on it and a napkin. Wasn't yours, but that was not yours. A napkin was balled up and shoved in the top of it to keep it fresh.
As a physician,
there's no way air can penetrate a balled up napkin.
And you wouldn't want to waste those last 3 ravioli. I mean.
You would think, now, if you didn't know where you were and you just opened the door, you'd say, well, either you're at a preschool or one of those halfway houses for challenged adults. You would have no idea that professionals work there.
Well, tonight we found a frozen Coke.
Tonight, I opened the freezer, and there was a Coke, and I don't mean a Coke in a bottle or a can. I'm talking about a McDonald's Coke, like just comes in a McDonald's cup.
With a straw or without the
straw? Straw's in it.
Straw's in there.
Mm-hmm. Straw in it, but again, with an eye on freshness, there was a yellow Post-it.
Post-it sticky.
Yellow Post-it sticky.
Over the opening of the straw.
Over the top of the straw.
You are kidding me.
No. And a piece of tape around that.
Adam, I think you plant these things just so you can talk about it.
No. You don't understand radio people.
I mean, it's too good to be true.
You don't understand. Listen, I'm Tony Randall around here. You understand? I am a debonair. Yeah. These low lives. And
that's
by the way,
that's why you didn't clean the microwave before you put your coffee in it.
I can't. It's really cleaning up someone's microwave is like coming in after them and cleaning their toilet. You know. And by it would have been better off they just took a crap in it. How dare everyone at this radio station? And then and by the way, let me tell you how much Coke there was at the bottom of this thing. About an inch and a quarter. There was,
and it was frozen.
Literally nine cents worth of Coke at the bottom. Who? In the freezer. What's going on? And listen, radio a-holes, if you're going to capsize your pizza in the microwave, feel free to at least take a swipe with your hand and knock out the big chunks. Does everyone have to wade through your crap? It's aggressive, Drew.
It's nothing aggressive.
It's an attack. I was attacked. No, it's rape. I was raped. No, it's rape and sodomy. No, I was killed.
You killed rape and sodomy.
I blame the overnight people.
I don't.
Come on.
Oh, my God. But you understand, average age, 44. You're capsizing
pizzas. All right,
pizzas.
I admit it. It was me.
You're too delicate a flower to ever do anything like that. It's not even in your vocabulary. Okay. Yes. Even your wildest dreams to sabotage my coffee, you couldn't come up with that. All right. You ready to go here?
Yeah, let's go. Here we go.
Do you think it's the same... The same retard that saved the nickel's worth of Coke that saved the raviolis,
the three raviolis. It's the same person that would be more appealing to me than thinking there's more of those guys out there.
I think it's the same guy.
I hope it's the same guy.
Same animal.
No question about it.
And let me say this, too, same about rapist. the Chef Boyardee ravioli. You open a can, you should dump them all onto the ground. You should not eat one of those things. If you are over 9 years of age and you enjoy a Chef Boyardee ravioli or a SpaghettiO, you either have a disorder. Yes, there could be. Sometimes there's like a cassava melon-sized tumor putting pressure on the side of your brain that makes you an idiot, or you have a disability of some kind. There's no way you can be an adult and enjoy that garbage. Yes?
Yes.
And hopefully you'll hate it as a kid as well. Yeah. That's a good sign.
Yeah. I don't know. Those are the secrets to my butt.
Really? Let's see the butt one more time. Drew, don't look. Don't look. I'm going to look at Elizabeth's butt. Wow. Tight, too. What do? Do you run on that? You run on the treadmill? You do the stair stepper?
I mix it up.
You mix it up?
Yeah, because I don't have patience. I need to try new things all the time.
Is that Stewie?
Yeah. Did I hear Stewie in the background there, Anderson?
No, that was Napoleon.
Oh, okay.
Dang.
Kevin?
Yes.
You're 21?
Yep.
All right. You sound like you're 45.
No, I'm 21.
All right, here we go.
What's up?
My girlfriend thinks that I'm an alcoholic. I drink a couple 40s every other night, and she's threatening to leave because she thinks I drink too much. Mm-hmm. She has a son who his father died in a car accident drinking and driving on his 21st birthday. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know Malik Sealy from Timberwolves.
Sure.
Yeah, you remember he died a few years ago? Drunk driver.
It was in all the papers out here.
What's your point there, Kevin?
Well, yeah, it was the same place where he died where Malik Sealy died that he died, and she thinks because I drink and I don't drive, obviously, but she thinks that because her son's father did. And
mm-hmm. Who's not Malik? Who's Malik?
Malik Sealy, he played for the Timberwolves about 4 years ago, and he died in a car accident 6 years ago, actually.
Ah, okay. All right, yeah. Hold it. Yeah.
The local reference.
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty big hockey fans out here, but I couldn't name one guy.
Too.
Oh, Timberwolves, sorry.
Timberwolves, but no hockey this year.
No hockey, yeah. Big strike season.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, that sucks.
It's a bad sign, by the way, when you're locked out or you're on strike and no one even knows it.
Well, Kevin, the fact that she's attracted to you does increase the probability that you're an alcoholic because she seems to be one of these people that needs to be with an alcoholic all the time. That tends to be the way it goes. Her dad's an alcoholic, then she'll be attracted to alcoholics. And you're resistant to doing anything about this, and the fact that it is having an effect on your relationship essentially defines the disease of alcoholism.
And by the way, you're 21 and you sound grizzled.
Yeah.
That's alcohol.
Yeah. Here's what the bad part is, okay? She's a stripper.
Oh, perfect.
Right. Yeah. Okay, that makes it even all the better. And then on top of it, my father was an alcoholic.
Right, you inherit that gene.
Yeah, he quit when he was in the Army during World War II. My father's now 72. I'm the youngest of four.
Wow. Hold on, you're 21
wow.
and you
yeah,
had a dad that
yeah.
saw action in World War II?
Yep. Hey, he's 70. Oh, my father's nice. 72, so.
But yeah, he was 50 when he had him.
Yeah.
52.
Yep.
Ugh. Okay. All right. Well,
by the way, that defines narcissism. Yeah, you make old guys having kids.
You make a very compelling point, Kevin.
Yeah, what's your point? So I just don't see the point.
My dad was a boozer.
My point is that my uncles were, and I don't want to be an alcoholic. And
well, you don't get to choose that. You inherit
right.
it. Yeah, you've defined the disease. It's a genetic disorder where the hallmark is progressive use in the face of adverse consequence.
Yeah. Drew didn't want to be a chick.
Yeah.
Well, what are you
going to
do?
What are you
going
to do?
And I've gone to AA meetings, and I've done this and
right.
that, and the next thing, and I still continue to drink. And
well, you have to stop.
I'm not sure that I am or not.
Trust me, you are. I guarantee you, you are.
Let's go. Yeah, you're drunk now.
No.
You got a little buzz. Yeah. Well, I know. Well. By the way, let me tell you something. You never get guys, 21-year-old guys, to admit they're drunk.
Of course.
I mean, the guy's talking to you through a lampshade. He's wearing a tutu. He just got done punching
Didn't
out
you tell me
his
you guys
best friend.
You'd have fights on your stairs out in front of your apartment over who's
guy,
drunk
guy,
and who
guy.
Isn't.
Drunk. Here's the thing about... Okay. Let me explain something. Here's the number one thing that gets people into trouble when they're drunk. They don't realize they're drunk. Here's the thing. When I'm drunk, I know I'm drunk, and I do everything accordingly.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
You pass
out. You like
out.
To watch TiVo.
He vomits into ice bins and ice making machines.
I did do that in Tijuana. But no, I got to be honest. I've driven a vehicle drunk. Probably I could have lapped the world three times. Here's the beauty. I know I'm sending a very positive message
great.
To kids.
Thank
but
you.
Look, I got to be honest. Let's face it. And look, it's not. It's 0.08 out here. What are you going to do?
Yeah,
a couple
so,
of beers
and
a barbecue. What are you going to do? Here's my point. I'm drunk. And legally, and if I get pulled over, it's going to be big problems. So here's what you do. Slow down, put the hands at 10 and 2, do all the signals, don't be an idiot. The guys who get busted, they get drunk and they're doing Brody's in the parking lot of the Safeway. They don't know they're loaded. And they don't admit they have a problem, and they don't know they're effed up. And then eventually bad things just start happening, and they still don't admit it. And eventually life gets sort of taken away from them.
Yeah.
Yes? All right, so that's Kevin. Kevin.
Yes.
What else are you going to tell us? Your girlfriend thinks you're an alcoholic. Everyone in your family is an alcoholic. You're drinking quite a bit. You've tried AA.
Drank since
yeah, okay,
1947,
you're,
so.
Right.
Yeah, that's rare.
All right. Your father was able to kick his alcoholism. It doesn't mean he wasn't an alcoholic.
I'm not able to kick it.
We understand.
Thank you.
That.
Thank
and
you.
You need to go to. You
oh,
need to,
wait a minute. Now my opinion's changed
yeah, we're
completely.
Completely changed our attitude.
Well, new plan, Drew. What is it?
Go to AA, obtain a sponsor, and work the steps.
I go to AA. And I just
get a sponsor.
Every other night, I still after a meeting,
Kevin,
I come home and I drink
Kevin,
again.
Kevin, get a sponsor and follow his direction. Okay.
Okay.
Get a sponsor. Raise your hand at the next meeting. And go. I need a sponsor. Let's see if that helps out, all right?
Okay. Also, you know, she's got this kid. His father died, you know, in a car accident drinking and driving, you know.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's why she doesn't like me drinking and driving.
Well, there's lots of reasons
why.
She doesn't
like me drinking, period.
Right.
Whereas, like, our wives never lost anyone.
So they're encouraging us to drink and drive.
My wife won't let me leave the house without a pony cake. I have to carry it. And I have to tell her, honey, I'm loaded. I'm already drunk. Oh, yeah? Your buzz could wear off in traffic. Yeah. I know. That's the other thing you do, by the way, when you're drunk. You just keep repeating the same thing.
Know.
You do it a little bit louder, and then you keep claiming you're not drunk. It's sad and obvious.
No,
Kevin,
no, come on.
Just go
enough
get a
Kevin.
Sponsor.
Enough
I don't want to hear any more of your stupid excuses.
Univision, the Spanish channel. TiVo that, because it...
All right.
All right, thanks, Kevin. Get the mucho Hidalgo.
Yeah. All right, just please go get a sponsor, please.
You should have closed that up with the Ranchero music.
Yeah, good point.
That would have been perfect.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
can't. Well, actually, you can only tolerate that music when you're loaded. It's because
so perfect.
Yeah. Except for us, we're not drunk, so we'd have to kill ourselves.
Speak for yourself, Adam.
Trey, 23.
Are you really? Are you drunk with power?
Trey.
Hey.
23.
Yeah. What's up, Trey?
Your girlfriend wants to have a threesome.
Yeah, well, here's the situation. We've been together 2.5 years. We've lived together for 6 months now. We've gotten to the point where I want to marry her, and then all of a sudden, recently, She's been talking about wanting to have a threesome with.
All right, hold on a second. Hold on a second.
All right, with a female roommate.
No.
A male.
Just me and her.
How do you?
Well, there's got to be three there.
You want a threesome with who?
No, she wants to have a threesome with this other girl she works with.
No, she wants to have a threesome with another person.
Oh, okay.
How dare you, Adam? No.
Wow. I tell you, I'm so far off tonight. I didn't know she wanted a threesome. I figured she wanted a threesome with another girl. I didn't know she wanted a threesome with another girl. Our callers are so... You can't dictate. I think I should start everything with... And so I know your idea, Your Highness, was to say this. I'm going to say it for you with your permission.
You
can't say anything. I was like, no. And by the way, isn't it horrible etiquette that everyone in this country now, whenever you speak to them, they're like, no, 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 no. And then they repeat the exact same thing. Really? You're supposed to just say no, no, no?
It used to
just
happen to me, remember?
What's that?
It used to just happen to me.
Yeah,
I know. Now it's everybody.
Now everyone's a no man.
Yeah.
What happened to yes man? All right. Let's take a little break. We'll get back with Trey, who girlfriend wants to have a threesome. I have very strong feelings about this. And the beautiful Elizabeth after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. It's Dr. Drew. Elizabeth here tonight from The Apprentice. And tomorrow night, the dreamy Jason Bateman.
Yeah, Elizabeth, I just found out he was married.
Probably into a more. He can still come out tomorrow and present for him. Also, Will Arnett in here from Arrested Development. He's got the Emmys, got the wife. He's got it all. The Bateman's got it all. And you know what? Down to earth, good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Good guy. Will Arnett, good guy. Decent guys. Yes?
Yes.
Fans?
So.
Yes? Fans are theirs. Yes?
There you go.
All right. Ready to go to the phones?
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Now, let me tell you something, Elizabeth. I know you now, because you're on TV, you think, well, I got to get a celebrity guy. Now, you don't want that. You want just a good salt of the earth type.
Tell me what I want, Adam.
I'll tell you what you need.
Mm.
Okay?
I'm ready.
Only Elizabeth can tell Elizabeth what Elizabeth wants. Adam can tell Elizabeth what Elizabeth needs. Okay? Okay. And it's not a guy that's on TV. You know what you need? Here's what guys do. Aha. Mm. Ha.
Yeah.
Guys are smart in relationships, which is we don't get more of us. We get a counter to us.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
We're not good at certain things. We get someone who's good at those things.
Filling in the gaps.
You women, you want another one of you. You're a mover and a shaker. You want to get with a mover and shaker. Mm-mm. You need someone to come cool your jets a little bit. You need a little bit of homebody.
Yeah,
you
gotta respect the guy. I can't get somebody who just doesn't do anything.
Mm-hmm. Hear that? That's aggressive.
She's got to inherit his money.
Yeah. You need a guy.
Inherited money.
Yeah. Yeah. You need one of those trust fund babies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Feed you a little pot, loosen you up a little bit.
Yeah, the brownies.
Brownies.
I hear you make good brownies.
Trey?
Yep.
So here we go.
23.
So what do you want to do about this?
So I guess my question, now I'm just kind of like, what the F, you know? Like.
All right, well, Drew, please recap, would you, for love of Christ?
He has a fiance, right?
No,
he hasn't proposed
yet,
right?
Yet.
All right, a long-term relationship that suddenly.
2.5 years.
Suddenly came forward.
Lived together for 6 months.
Of wanting to have a threesome with your female coworker or something.
Lucky.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. Drew, what, I mean, you know, what's bothering you about the situation?
Trey?
Basically, I mean. The way I see, I mean, if it's someone I'm thinking about marrying, you know, I don't want to marry someone that has like those kind of feelings and would want to do something like that. So now I'm just kind of like, don't really.
Well,
want to
if you do it, the relationship will not survive. I guarantee that.
I realize that. I'm
and
not
her
do
does
it.
Her request to do it may be one of two things.
Mm-hmm.
She may have a lot of turmoil and chaos in her life and may have difficulty sustaining an intimate relationship, and this may be her way of sort of throwing a wrench in it and sabotaging it.
What else?
And what's the other one?
Yeah. Well, I put the two together. One is the chaos, and the other is the sabotage.
You missed the third.
What if she just likes women?
What's the third?
Yeah.
Maybe she's curious.
She could be
curious. The thing is, we have such a normal
Hold
life.
Hold on a second. I got to talk to Drew.
Yeah.
It's getting a little cathartic here with Elizabeth.
She came forward a little bit briskly and assertively.
She certainly
scared
did.
Scared me a little bit.
There's definitely something going on.
Yeah.
That's why
I didn't think about that one.
That's why she likes Jason Bateman. She wants to get to Justine.
Ah. Oh,
that's her way in.
Adam,
that's her entree.
Adam. I think she hears you.
No.
No. Okay.
Lesbians have horrible hearing. I can't hear.
Hi,
I have gaydar, and no.
Another
Michelle,
woman,
you know,
to the rescue.
Michelle, you know who's no. lesbian. All right, not lesbian, but
no.
but curious.
But maybe
to try,
curious, yeah.
right?
Yeah.
All right, couple wine cooler.
That is certainly a possibility, but again, that's more chaos than anything because she's in a committed relationship.
Right.
Why would that have to come out?
Trey,
now?
Yeah, here's
yeah,
the
that's
problem.
A good point.
Trey is you're normal, you're healthy, you're a simple man with a simple taste, and your instincts are right. Your spidey sense is tingling.
Just trust
it
your
instincts. It sounds exciting. It sounds fun, and it is it true?
I would know.
All right, it could be fun, but here's the thing: if you want to marry her, you realize this someone is chaotic. I think what you need to do, if you're really serious about her, is talk to her about what her motivation is. And if she doesn't give you a good answer, there's no engagement ring here.
Right, right. Agreed. All right?
All right.
Agreed.
You know, once in a while, you get a normal answer. It's like, I don't know, I was reading about it, and I saw a movie about it. I was reading about it in Cosmo, and I just wanted to try to check it off my list. And they don't pursue it that much, and all right. But it usually means something.
Yeah, it usually means something. Yes, it does.
All right, let's take a little break.
Adam, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Discouraging somebody from a threesome?
No, I'm surprised.
Mm. Yeah, we've had
listen,
too much
I know everything. Yeah. I know everything. I know everything.
We've seen so many problems from that.
Yeah. No, I'm a genius. Hey, you college people, Drew, would you tell her I'm a genius?
He's a genius. He's a genius.
College people just go college, and everything becomes about paper and degrees and all that stuff. No. Genius.
Adam
yes?
is like a genius.
You're the school of life.
Instinct like a wild animal.
That's right.
Back to the cheetah.
That's right. We'll take a break. Be right back after this. Well, that's the show. Where did the time go? Where, Drew? All right.
Lost it somewhere around the presentation.
Flew by.
Great radio with the head nodding, head shaking.
I don't want to leave.
Yeah, well, I know, because Jason Bateman's going to be here in 22 hours. He's so dreamy.
No, he's married now. That's it.
Now I want him more.
You want him more?
No.
Wear those tight jeans. Present like you do. He'll be cool. All right, Elizabeth, God bless. Thank you. I'm sure we'll be hearing huge things from you.
Thank you for having
but
me.
But really, don't have that hamster wheel spin too fast. You scare the guys.
All right.
Jason's kind of a laid-back dude. You freak him out. You know what I'm saying?
It's pot brownies, right?
That's right. Yeah. Eat them pot brownies. Get some of that Klonopin from Michelle.
See that? I got my own love line.
Will Arnett in here tomorrow night, too, from
rapist.
Arrested Development. And until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo. These are the words of a woman who has a large ass.
I'm kind of, like, chunky.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.